Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of James, chapter 2. James, chapter 2, we'll read verses 1 through 6 together. We'll read this passage responsively. James, chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. James, chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring in goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and saith unto him, Sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, Stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you, and draw you before the judgment seat? And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for our church. Lord, thank you for the influence of a man like Brother Bajan. Lord, thank you for the influence of the Holy Spirit on the man of God. Now, Father, please fill our preacher with your power. Do that which only you can do, and that is reach the hearts of all of us. Father, please fill us with your power as we listen in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
Late into the evening, I will speak quickly, but I want you to listen to me carefully. The sermon tonight is called, Hath Not God Chosen the Poor? I believe that traditional fundamentalists are backsliding in this area. I feel like our churches are leaving the cause of reaching the lost, and especially are they somehow moving away from reaching the poor. It's almost as if we're getting a little too highfalutin to the point where we don't want to reach the poor. That's one reason why I will continue to fight for the sake of the bus ministry. There are churches everywhere wanting to shut their bus ministry down, and really, if I were to tell you why, I think it is because the bus people do not contribute to the finances of the church. The bus people mess up the church property some, and so I think there are some who would say, well, we don't need that. Yes, we do need that. God made it very clear we need that. And I say, let's not stop our bus ministry. Let's keep reaching the poor. Hath not God chosen the poor? We read together a little bit ago in James chapter 2, where we see God giving attention to our behavior toward the poor. God tells us how to treat poor people. God tells us how not to treat poor people. Listen to this. James 2:1 says, My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. God starts out and he says, I don't want you showing favoritism. Do not respect people more or less on the basis of how much money they have. The way you look, if somebody comes into the church and if they have money, you treat them better. If they don't have money, there's something wrong with that. God said, don't show that kind of favoritism. God said, that's not the way the church functions. In verse 2 it says, For if there come into your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment. In other words, God said, you don't treat somebody bad because their clothing is not rich and fancy. If they have poor clothing, they deserve the same respect and treatment as somebody with fancy clothing on. It actually even says vile raiment. So what does that mean? Their clothes smell. They're rotten. I just don't want to be around that. Then you're not like Jesus, because Jesus said, I'm going to love those unfortunate people. In verse number 3 in James 2, it says, And ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, Sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, Stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. And here it's telling you, don't push him away from where you sit. Actually, it says, God said, don't you dare have a poor person walk into the church and make them stand while you let somebody that you think has a little money have a seat. And then nowhere in the Bible does it say that because somebody doesn't have money, they have to sit away from the rest of the crowd. Or, hey, in other words, folks, our pews, that pew doesn't belong to you. But you come in and find some poor person sitting in your pew, you have no right to say, get out of there. That's my seat. That's not your seat. That's not your seat. The poor people have just as much right in the local New Testament church as anybody does. In James chapter 2, verse 4, it says, and ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts. Remember, he's talking about our treatment of the poor. And God says, if you mistreat the poor that come into the church, he says, you are behaving in an evil fashion. Yeah, well, Brother Owens, I thought evil was when I was out getting drunk and selling drugs and committing adultery. Oh no, God said, if you mistreat the poor, he said, I associate that with evil. James chapter 2, verse 5 says, hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor? By the way, that's the title of this evening's sermon. Hath not God chosen the poor? It says, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? God gives the poor a bit of a compliment here. He talks about them being rich in faith. Then in verse number 6 he says, but ye have despised the poor. God said, don't you despise the poor. Don't you insult. Don't you add to the shame of the poor. It says that ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you? And God said, you're not to despise the poor. This topic of the poor has through the ages been very important to God. I believe the theme of the Christian life is love. I believe the theme of Christianity, the New Testament church, is love. And God in a special way said, one of the ways that I will find out what quality love you have is how you love the poor. He also talks about loving our enemies. But you and I, we are to love the poor. And folks, you say, well, I don't want to be a part of a church like that. Then you don't want to be a part of a church that Jesus Christ is pleased with. Because he said, one of the things I want the church to do is to emphasize good treatment and loving the poor. It's always been God's wishes that the New Testament church treat the poor properly. God has always wanted good Christians to take special interest in the poor. Indeed, it is evil if you hurt poor people. It's evil to hurt any people, but it's evil to hurt the poor. Hey, listen, it's not a sin to be poor. It is a sin for you to look down on the poor, though. That's one of the reasons why we have a bus ministry. I believe the bus ministry helps us in regard to God's command about helping and reaching the poor. Did you know something? Our buildings and our furnishings around here, they don't intimidate the poor. Now, I like having nice things, and we keep it clean, and we keep it decent. But I want people to come around, and the poor people to come here and feel like this is not their church, and they don't belong here. We'll, you know what? We may not spend as much money on chandeliers as what some do, but I'll tell you this, we put an ample amount of money into our buses bringing the poor into this church, and I don't want our church to ever be so highfalutin that the poor people come in here and say, I don't feel good down there. I don't feel like I belong down there. I want the common man and the poor man and everybody to feel welcome at the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. So you all know the poor are welcome here. The poor are welcome here. If you ever say to this pastor, well, we've had it with the bus ministry, we're going to kick it out, then you're going to have to kick me out with it, because if the poor goes, the pastor goes. And we don't have that attitude here, but I just want you to know, the poor are welcome here, and I need you as a congregation to make sure that they know that they're welcome here. Let me tell you some things that I've learned. I was studying God's feelings and God's desire about the poor. Let me show you some things in the Bible about it. Hath not God chosen that we remember the poor? That we remember the poor? Galatians 2:10 says, only they would that we should remember the poor. The same which also was forward to do so. Now here the Bible tells us that we're to remember the poor. Paul recommends that we remember the poor. It's easy to forget the poor. When you have all that you need, it's awful easy to enjoy what you have and forget there are people that do not have what they need. On purpose, think about the poor. Think about the poor as you eat. Go to your closet, look through your clothes, and think about the poor. As you sleep in your nice warm bed, remember the poor. As you are at the grocery store, remember the poor. As you eat out at a nice restaurant, remember the poor. As you live in your nice house, remember the poor. It was a command of God. God told the people at Galatia, He said, only they would that we should remember the poor. God said, I want you to remember the poor. You know, I'll tell you all something. Some of you take a Sunday afternoon drive or a Saturday afternoon drive. Instead of you driving in $500,000 homes around our county, why don't you go up into the hollers where people are living in an old mobile home and they don't have enough heat and they've got kids that don't have shoes on their feet. Why don't you take a drive and get God's heart instead of having a heart of covetousness while you're out driving around looking at houses that you can't afford anyway. But God said, remember the poor. Remember the poor. Secondly, hath not God chosen the poor? And Jesus is our great example of it. Jesus, our great example of what? The poor. The Bible says in Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Did you hear that? Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. To the poor. To the poor. You see, this is Jesus speaking. Notice how He speaks of how the Spirit of the Lord is upon Him. Why? Because He hath been anointed to preach the gospel to the poor. Jesus loved the poor. Jesus did not ignore the poor. Jesus did not look down on the poor. But I really want to point something out that's very special to my heart about this. I want you to notice the Bible says God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit of God with a special anointing, a special dose of power. Why? Because He was preaching to the poor. To the poor. I believe this. I believe those that will reach out to the poor have available to them a special access to the power of God. You say, Brother Owens, I love our church. I love what we see happen. Well, by nearly 100 people in the last 3 weeks walking the aisle, trusting Jesus Christ as Savior. I love coming here and watching the Holy Ghost of God come down and great things happen. I think this. I think we can attribute the mighty moving of the Holy Spirit of God in this church. And one of the reasons why, God looks down and says, right there's a church that's not snooty. Right there's a church that don't have an arrogancy about them. There's a church reaching the poor. I think I'll give them an extra dose of the Holy Ghost. I think I'll give them an extra dose of the power of God. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. To the poor. To the poor. Hey, you young preacher boys growing up here in this church, you say, but those I like to go out there and get me a crowd. Well, when you go out there and get you a church someday, you can't get you a crowd of businessmen to come here you preach. You can go gather you up a bunch of poor people and the Holy Spirit of God will come down and you can have you a good old church service without all those people that are too good for the poor. For the poor. I believe this. If our church ever takes our eyes off the poor, I think the Holy Spirit of God, as the dove, will fly away. He'll fly away. And so I see this. I see that hath not God chosen that we remember the poor? Hath not God chosen the poor? And Jesus is a great example of it. Thirdly, hath not God chosen the poor? And He instructs us on how to treat the poor. He tells us how to treat the poor. He tells us to love the poor. 1 Corinthians 13:3 says, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and I'm not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Now, charity means love. Let me explain something to you. There are some of you, you'd be glad to help the poor from a distance. Keep them away from me. The Lord says, you could give all your goods away to feed the poor, but if you don't love the poor, He said, you're missing the whole thing here. I'll give some money and take care of the poor, but you keep them away from me. God said, I want you to love them. Well, preacher, I'll let you love them, and I'll pay you to love them. You can't pay me to love the poor for you. You're to love the poor. It's a personal command. We are to love them, not just to give to them. You see, there are some people who do things for the poor. It's a conscience-soothing thing, but they really don't want anything to do with the poor. You know something? Your soul is no more valuable than the soul of the poorest person that lives on the backside of that mountain. Jesus didn't die for you. Hey, those that have a little bit of money, Jesus didn't die for you more than He died for a poor little bus kid. No. We're to love the poor. Not only that, we're to feed the poor. Proverbs 22:9 says, "He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor." Hey, when was the last time you fed the poor? You fed the poor. Bible teaches we are to sacrifice for the poor. It says in Matthew 19:21, Jesus said unto him, "If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give it to the poor." This is talking about being sacrificial. It's talking about giving up something of yours of value, selling it to use it to help some poor person. That's what God's challenging you to do. You know how we are. Well, if I get a little extra, I may help a poor person. God's saying, if you don't have extra, go sell something that's of value to you and help the poor. We live in a stingy Christian society, don't we? We are to win the poor to Christ. The Bible says in Matthew 11:5, the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. Hey, let me say to all of us that go soul winning in this great four-state area, we better be careful not to bypass that dirty old shack at the end of the road where somebody poor lives. It wouldn't hurt some of you that are a little snooty to go find a poor house and find that somebody that's got about 8 pickup trucks parked in the backyard with 2 hound dogs chained to them. Walk up there and knock on the door, even if it's ready to fall off the hinges. Go in and sit down on their dirty couch and lead them to Jesus Christ and love them for a little while. Say, I don't want to be in that situation. But if it were not for the grace of God, every last one of us would be living on the backside of the mountain. Every last one of us would be eating cat food and dog food. God's been good to us. Let's go out and reach the poor. Now, I like the fact that we have a nice property, and I like the fact that we have nice grounds, and we've got us a grand piano, and we've got carpeting and nice chandeliers. I like doing things first class. I believe if you're not first class, you don't have any class, but I believe it's first class Christianity to go out and reach the poor. The poor. We're to win the poor to Christ. We are to win the poor to Christ. We're to love the poor. We're to feed the poor. We're to sacrifice for the poor. We're to win the poor to Christ. Hey, we're to plead the cause of the poor. Plead their cause. Proverbs 31:9 says, "Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor needy." In other words, that word plead means defend them. Defend them. Plead their cause. Try to get people to help them. That's what I'm doing tonight. I'm pleading the cause of the poor. You know, listen, when somebody says something negative about a poor person, here's what my mama used to say to me. My mama would say, "Son, maybe they haven't been trained as well as you." That was, you know what my mom was doing? She was defending. She was saying, "Son, not everybody's had some of the opportunities that you've had. Not everybody had maybe had a mama and a daddy that taught them some of those things. Not everybody has that." And folks, the Bible says the poor you'll have with you always. They're out there. Somebody needs to love them. Somebody needs to love them. The Bible actually goes as far as to tell us to give money to the poor. Now, you got to be careful giving money to the poor that are doing drugs or alcohol to go out and misspend it in that way. But listen, Romans 15:26 it says, For it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints in Jerusalem. We are to give toward the cause of the poor. That's why we give to missions. That's why we give to the bus ministry. I know one of our bus routes has been having a little food drive in recent days. And what were we doing? We're contributing to the need of the poor. And so, God tells us that there's a certain way we're to treat the poor. He said, "Hath not God chosen that we remember the poor?" Do we not realize that Jesus is a great example of how to treat the poor? He gives us instruction on how to treat them. He said, "I want you to love them. I want you to feed them. I want you to sacrifice for them. I want you to win them to Christ. I want you to plead their cause and defend them. And I want you to give money to them." Hey, God has also told us how not to treat the poor. I told you what God said, this is how I want you to treat them. Then he gave us some instructions on how not to treat them. You should never mock or tease the poor. Proverbs 17:5 says, "Whoso mocketh the poor reproacheth his maker." In other words, you are a reproach to God when you mock somebody that's poor. You young people that go to our Christian Academy over here, when you see the bus kids, when you see the bus teenagers come in here on a Sunday morning, and their shoes aren't tied, and their socks don't match, and their hair's dirty, and you look at them, I'm going to tell you something, don't you dare tease them. First of all, your pastor's going to be very disappointed in you if you tease or you mock the poor. Don't you do that. But worse than being your preacher being disappointed in you, God said you are a reproach to God if you mock or tease the poor. So we should never tease or mock them. We should never bully them. We should never bully them. Listen to Psalm 35. Psalm 35, 10 says, "All my bones shall say, Lord, who is like unto thee, which delivereth the poor from him that is too strong for him? Yea, the poor and the needy from that spoil him." Here it's talking about the need to deliver the poor out of the hand of somebody that's strong. It should never be that we as Christians ever bully poor people. We're not supposed to do that. We're to be good to them. We're to be kind to them. And so make sure you never bully the poor. Hey, next, we should never reject them in our conversation and their cry for help. The Bible says in Proverbs 21:13, "Whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard." Listen, are you too good to talk to the poor? I wonder, would you come here to church on a Sunday morning and we've got a bunch of visitors and maybe some poor folk? You've got your adult Sunday school class and some poor folk have come in. Do you go talk to everybody else but leave that poor person set off in the corner all by themselves, rejecting them from the conversation? You say, why? Well, they have vile raiment on. They're a little bit shabby. They don't have a diamond ring on their fingers. They didn't come in their nice car. They came in on the bus, which thank God for those buses that bring them in. It ought to be everybody here, whether you're a child, a teenager, or an adult, when Sunday school rolls around, hey, you ought to be swarming all over those poor and saying, we're glad you're here. We want you here. Hey, let's talk. You say, well, I really don't have too much in common with them. Then get something in common with them. You never get too intelligent to love the poor. You never get too intelligent to take interest in the poor. And God told us don't reject conversation with them. He said we should not lead them out of our fellowship. Right. When we have Sunday school fellowships, the poor ought to be invited. Luke chapter 14, verse 13 says, "But when thou makest a feast, call the poor." Call the poor. That's what the Bible says. Hey, get this. When was the last time you invited a poor person and took them out to a restaurant to eat with you? You say, what? People will see us. Right. Right. You happen to carry Jesus Christ's name and you're poor. We're called Christians. He associated with us. He has called us to a feast, the wedding supper of the Lamb. We all get to attend that. We're all a bunch of poor people. We couldn't save ourselves. Hey, try it. Well, I'll go out to eat with, I bet somebody smells bad. Somebody looks bad. I'm not going to be seen in public with them. You're the one I'm talking to. Let me go on. Hath not God chosen the poor? And the Bible teaches He'll reward us if we will choose them also. Listen to this. Helping the poor will increase your happiness. Proverbs 14:21 says, "He that despiseth his neighbor sinneth, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he." Some of you that are sad all the time, tell you what you do. Go out and work on a bus route, bring some poor kids in and help them. You'll get happy. You get your eyes off your self-centered self and all your problems. And you know, I know poor people that live in a shack that are happier than some of you that live in $400,000 homes. Wouldn't hurt you to go out and help somebody that's poor and get a smile on your face. Listen, if you'll listen to the poor when they cry out, God will listen to you when you cry out. Listen to this. Proverbs 21:13 says, "Whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself that shall not be heard." God said, if you won't listen to the poor, if you won't converse with the poor, if you won't try to help the poor, there's coming a day when you're going to have need and you may come up short on your need. It's called reaping what you sow. The Bible says when we're good to the poor, we lay up treasures in heaven. It says in Mark 10:21, "Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven." Treasure in heaven. God promises treasure in heaven by treating the poor well. But, Brother Bajan, it may be all these years, nearly a half a million people coming in on that bus ministry that you have helped to lead. It may be you've not had the fanciest house in the county and the fanciest cars in the county, but I'm going to promise you, you have treasures in heaven. Treasures in heaven. When we give to the poor, the Bible says giving to the poor is like lending to the Lord. Proverbs 19:17 says, "He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord. And that which he hath given, will he pay him again?" I believe this. Anything you invest in the poor, God says, "I'm giving it back to you." So it's like you never lost it. It's like you never lost it. God said, you give it for the cause of the poor, I'll give it back to you. But you know something? God's real good about this thing of paying interest. Not only will you get back what you gave, but our God who owns the cattle on a thousand hills, He'll not only give you back what you gave, He'll give you back interest. And heaven's interest is real good. Real good. I've always recommended this. We've got about a half a dozen of our men that are getting ready to launch and start businesses of their own. I've said to every one of them in private counseling sessions that I've had and helping them set up their businesses, I said to them, you need to put in your investment portfolio the poor and the widows. I promise you, if you will do that, God will bless your business. God would like to take a businessman and keep his business alive that invests in that which God says is an ultimate investment, which is the poor. Which is the poor. When we give to the poor, I think there are special blessings we receive. Proverbs 22:9 says, "He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor." There is talking about God gives special blessings to those who help the poor. I'm finished, but let me make one more application to this issue of the poor. Hath not God chosen the poor? And then he told us to follow their example. He said, what? I say God has chosen the poor, but God said what some of you need to do is you need to follow their example. You know, the poor are given credit by God for being rich in faith. Listen, James 2:5 says, "Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith?" Rich in faith, The poor often have a refreshing simplicity about their faith in God. You ever notice there are poor people that there's just something refreshing about them? There's something about their simplicity of life, and they have this faith that's very, very unique. I've seen it in poor people over and over again. God said to us, we might want to learn something about faith by watching the faith of poor people. The poor people. But that's not really the reason for this point. I say God tells you and I to follow the example of the poor because in Mark chapter 12, verse 42 and 43, we see the greatest used example of giving in the entire Bible. The greatest example of giving in the entire Bible is giving by a poor person. Mark chapter 12, verse 42 and 43, it says, "And there came a certain poor widow. She threw in two mites, which make a farthing. He called unto him, and he called unto him his disciples and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more in than all they which have cast into the treasury." You know what happened? When God decided to set an example for Christianity through the ages, and he said, "I want to show people how they are to give," he did not pick a rich man to set the example. He didn't pick a middle class man to set the example. God said, "I will take a poor woman, no man in the house, a poor woman, and I will let a poor woman set the bar, set the example of how to give." The most famous historical figure in the realm of giving is a poor person. A poor person. A poor person. I believe that fundamental churches are backsliding in this area. Have you ever noticed that the highfalutin denominational churches, they don't go out after old poor all the time. They may feed them every once in a while, but as far as bringing them to their churches, you know, if they would stop spending all that money on the elaborate buildings and run them bus ministries, they could pack some of those denominational churches out with a bunch of poor bus kids. Why don't they do that? Because they're not really interested in it. You just enough to soothe their conscience socially. Well, we don't only want to feed them. They're welcome to come to our church and be a part of it. They can sit among us. We're no more special to God than they are. Hath not God chosen the poor? Hath not God chosen the poor? Let's keep reaching the poor. Next Sunday, the biggest Sunday of our fall attendance campaign, let's go out and reach them. Let's go out. Let's keep the power of God on the old Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, because I think there is a special anointing for the churches that stay after the poor. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed.